So before we get him on, just to make sure you're proper warmed up, I've got to do the usual download thing. I need all your help with this, okay?
What's he going
right?
to do? What is he going
to do? I'm
going to sit by you while you do whatever this is.
Oh, scream for me, download!
You fucking loser.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 238 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and one of us is just a good guy from a bad, bad town, and the other is just a bad boy with a good reputation.
Yeah, that's probably right, actually. No pun intended.
No.
This week's guest is James Richard Keith Thomas Aneirin Geraint Davis. One of them is his middle name. None of the other ones I just come up with off the top of my head are his actual middle name. Yes, that's Bob. Angry Bob. Lovely Bob. Depends what mood you've caught him in. Of the Blackout guitar fame.
I was going to say, I didn't think all those middle names made up Bob. Was Bob just easier to call him instead?
No, in school it's because he was very, very, very quiet. Silent Bob, innit? Like Silent Bob.
Ah, and
he ended up with a long-faced sidekick who is a chopsy shithead. And my brother's name is Jay. So, it does turn out that Sean and Silent Bob are the Jay and Silent Bob. Oh, I just realised we're the Jay and Silent Bob of the alt-rock world. Smoochy boochies.
It's mad what a nickname will get you, hey? But it's been a very interesting week. I'm sure a lot of people have seen what's been going on lately. Yes, I can confirm I've been struggling with hay fever. It hasn't been great. I'm taking the big boy tablets. I spent money on them. Side effects aren't great.
Ecstasy. You take ecstasy.
Ooh, yeah, but
I guess it's a fever. Probably makes you love a fever.
Maybe part of sniffing pollen.
being sniffy is so cool, man. It feels wicked.
Oh, no, seriously. This week was the return of The Blackout. Who would have thought it?
Not me.
8 years. That's eight. Eight years.
Count them up. Count them. 2015 to 23. 15 to 23. Look, this is how I work it out. 15 plus 5 is 20. 20 to 23 is 3. 5 plus 3 is 8. That's 8 years. And if you're wondering why we've just had to work out the maths on this, fucker, it's because live on stage at Download Festival, Gavin, Mark, Kevin, Keith, Alan, Isloin Butler said we had been missing for 7 years. And then when I corrected him and told him it's 8, he doubled down and said it was 7. Even though everybody else in our tent can count. Fair play to him. Fair play to him. Like, what balls does it take, right? To literally deny a fact that's in front of you. That's Donald Trump MAGA levels of fucking dissonance. Oh, use a fact. Oh, I don't believe facts anymore because someone else told me something else. Jesus Christ,
Gav. Oh, well, you know, maybe it was the nerves of being back on stage again. But the Blackout are back. It's been a very wholesome week, seeing all the love and support for you guys playing gigs again, rolling over to the podcast and just us at Downloads Festival this past week. We talked on the last episode about your return show at Merthyr Tydfil, but in the meantime, you played a packed tent at Download Festival at the 20th anniversary. The podcast was there for the whole weekend, recording some other stuff backstage, and we did a live podcast stage show on the Side Splitter on the Saturday morning. So we thought, why not combine the two for a perfect excuse to kind of reminisce over this last week and reflect all these emotions and incredible experiences you guys never thought you'd get to relive again.
Yes, this was a fantastic podcast. It's probably my favorite one we've done live so far. Thank you very, very much to Bob for doing it. You saved our bacon and you were absolutely fucking class. Funny, articulate. Yeah, what you said was beautiful and poignant. So, yes, thank you very much to my brother-in-arms, James, Richard, Clive. I can't remember the name of the Davis. Bob. Yeah, it's been an emotional roller coaster of a week, as you said. We played last Monday in Merthyr Tydfil, the Red House, the town hall, to a sold-out show where it was 250 people going mad from front to back. You normally get a few miserable knobheads up the back standing still. That wasn't the case, and it blew our minds. And then Download, as you will hear, was no different. We genuinely didn't expect it. We didn't mention this on stage. I texted the group WhatsApp after I found out the capacity of the tent was apparently 5,000, sent it to the group, and Bob said, I really wish I hadn't seen that, because we were all terrified that nobody would turn up. So the fact that the fucking tent was full makes my fucking heart full. But then what happened was, on the Saturday of Download, I made the walk from the main stage to the Avalanche stage, right? On Friday, we got ushered round the back in a minibus, so we didn't have to walk that far. So, what I need to say is, if you're listening to this and you came to see the Blackout at Download, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I genuinely appreciate how much effort it was to get to that fucking Avalanche stage, right? To me, it was closer to Slam Dunk than it was Download, right? So the fact that you guys made that walk over to see the Blackout will never, ever go unnoticed. It meant the fucking world to us. When I told the boys, they couldn't get over it either. And the messages, the outpouring of love, the photos, the videos, the comments, the amount of people I met at Download who congratulated me, were happy for me, or were overjoyed themselves that the Blackout was back. Honestly, it means the absolute world to me. I cannot specify it enough. I know this sounds very serious. This is probably the most serious I've ever been in a row on this podcast. Yeah. But it means the absolute world to each and every one of us. If you were there, you know that I mentioned that we might do it all again in February 2024. So we are currently looking at dates now. They should be hopefully secured in the next few days. So please keep an eye on the Blackout socials, at the Blackout on Twitter, at the Blackout Music on Instagram, at the Blackout Music on TikTok. Even though TikTok took our video down from Merthyr the other day because we used one of our own songs on it. What?
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. No, but there has been so much overpouring of love, and it's been so amazing to see. I'm so happy for you guys. I'm so happy to see how excited you all were on stage, and just to be able to do this again, brother. I've been here for the last 4.5 years, and I know exactly how much this means to you. So it's been absolutely wonderful to see. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who came to watch us do this live podcast on the Saturday morning of Download Festival, and just all the messages I've received in the kind of secondhand leftovers just by association. It's been the best time, and I'm glad we could kind of do this with Bob on the stage in front of people and just kind of get the reaction of your thoughts, feelings, and what's next for the band. I mean, Bob's going to talk about a lot from his side. I ask you a few things as well. I think it's just a very insightful, relaxed, and hilarious conversation about the blackout and everything else going on. Before we get into the conversation, just a reminder, go and follow us at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Support us via our Patreon page at patreon.com/Sapling.
Go on.
And if you're gutted you've missed us to do this live on the stage in person, and you're like, ah, I really wish I could watch these two and make fun of them. Well, we're going to be doing another one next month at 2,000 Trees Festival.
How many trees?
2,000 trees, Sean.
Fucking hell. Surely if the festival's getting bigger, they're going to have less trees eventually.
Or is it more trees because they would have more space? No, less trees, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd have to plant them, wouldn't they? To they fucking get to more. You do realise how trees work, don't you? Anyway, carry on, bud. Carry on. Live podcast. You were excited about it. I cut the fucking run you had going in half. Carry on, bud. Sorry.
On July the 8th of the Saturday, we're going to be doing a live podcast stage show and DJing the Silent Disco live from Upcourt Farm in Cheltenham. Weekend and VIP tickets are running very, very low. But because Festival love us, we love them, we have really dedicated listeners.
We do.
They are giving people £40 off VIP and weekend tickets while they last. All you need to do is head over to 2000treesfestival.co.uk/tickets and use the promo code SAPNING. That's £40 off weekend and VIP tickets.
SAPPENIN. SAPPENIN. SAPNING. Type that in a fucking code. £40, mine.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if you use that, and we see you here, you owe us a tenner.
Well, they don't only get to see us, but bands like Bullet for My Valentine, Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, Softplay, Skin Dread, Death of Honor, The Wonder Years,
Great.
Hell Is for Heroes, Fantastic. Lost Alone, The Exits, the list goes on and on and on. Head over to the website to check the full lineup and come and see us at Upcourt Farm in Cheltenham.
Yes. If we both went to talk at the same time, now there's been a big gap. What were you going to say, Morgan?
Without any further ado, let's see how this works out live in front of a crowd with the wonderful and angry, but I saw him smiling this week, James Bob Davis.
You did not see him fucking smiling. Don't let him hear that. He will murder you in your sleep. Anyway, this is Bobby Sauce on episode 238 of Sapling Podcast. Once again, thank you very much from me and everybody in the blackout. What a fucking week. Roll on fucking February. Sapling! That was very aggressive.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Bob. First things first, Sapnin.
It's never going to catch on.
Yeah.
It's been 4 years. Like, you think you would have done it by now?
It's too early.
It's never going to happen.
That's right.
It's never going
to happen. But no, like, as I said, this week's been very emotional in a lot of ways. You know, not being a band for 8 years and then...
Being a band.
Being a band. You know, so there's a difference there.
There is a subtle difference, yeah.
How are you feeling, reflecting on it and being able to play these two last shows and seeing the difference between Mirtha and Download and everything going on?
Yeah, it's been a bit overwhelming, to be honest. We kind of made the decision, maybe we can get into it in a bit or whatever, but we made the decision that we were going to do it towards the end of last year. And
yeah,
when you sort of talk about it, and it's just something that's off in the distance, it's you know, that you just think, well, yeah, okay, that should be fine. I'm sure that'll be fine. You know, you just, yeah, how about that date? Yeah, that'd be great. And then it gets a little bit closer. And then from Monday, it's been like really, really real. And I was a bit more thing about Monday because we'd already known that it had like sold and it sold out really fast. And that was really amazing. So that was great. And then I was really, really, really fucking nervous yesterday. Like the most nervous I've been for a show in like 10 years. And I normally...
Well, yeah, you haven't played for 8. Oh, no, you have.
You have 7, I think.
I completely forgot we've got another band as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell the others.
Yeah.
If anybody's filming this, delete that now.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't played that band.
And that bit.
Yeah.
And this bit explaining.
And that bit, and that bit, and that bit. Shall I come in again? Shall I just go off?
Let's start again.
Okay. Yeah, so it was just really, really like scary. So that just kind of went quite a long way into the set yesterday, where I was just like, I'm still shitting myself. And then it was like, only like the last like 2 or 3 songs, so I went, oh, okay, I've actually enjoyed it. And I did enjoy it. It's not like sounded like, well, it was rubbish. It wasn't. It was just overwhelmingly brilliant. So I think I'm not really going to be able... The problem with this is, this podcast happened too soon. You need to ask me this question like Thursday next week, and I'll be like, yeah, I can tell you that. Well, but right now I'm just like...
Yeah.
It's all just a bit like rolling around in my head.
No, of course. Yeah. And it's a lot to take in, isn't it? And especially when you've put that to bed and you've moved on to different things. And as you know, you two are in Raiders, a completely different project to that.
But oh, yeah.
What was the feeling just like backstage in Mirtha and stuff as well? Because I was lucky enough to be in the crowd. I've seen you guys above the set. There's so much love in that room. But how were you all feeling beforehand? Was it easier because it was like family around? I think it was just kind of, oh, we're doing this. Or was there a bit of like, oh, fuck, like this is actually happening?
Gavin demanded his own dressing room. Because he thinks he's some sort of rock superstar now.
It's those beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah. But no, it was a nice vibe. It was cool.
It was strangely familiar. Like you just instantly just like drop back into the whole vibe and just be like, oh yeah, I know exactly what this is like now. And you do sound check and you go, oh, great, now there's nothing to do for 3 hours and you just sit around. So all that stuff just feels like you haven't missed a beat. And kind of the same deal with the set as well. But then there was also just that kind of thing of like, I'm so old. And I'm like, it's like this is like little like sort of thing, like this is strange, this just feels like what it was like in the past, and like the last 8 years haven't happened.
James can count.
I pride myself on my counting to 10. It's one of my strongest features. Past 10, not so much.
He was so confident that it had been 7 years, right, that I was guessing my own ability to count. Yeah, I was like, yeah, perhaps he's right.
He's got the confidence of a man who knows exactly how long it is. Yeah. Maybe we all made a mistake.
Yeah, I was just like, do you know what? Maybe it's me who's wrong. No, turns around.
Yeah.
I should have just remembered. He's a fucking idiot. It's just been 8 years of not being on stage with him saying things that are absolutely bang wrong. And then
somebody went, yeah, yeah. Can confirm.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Yeah, but
Yeah, I think I worried you the day before yesterday when Ollie, our lighting guy, asked how many capacity the tent was, and I found out and sent it over because Download told us it was a 5,000 capacity tent. And I sent it over to the group, and then Bob instantly went with, "Oh, I really wish I didn't know that."
I was just like, I looked to pick my phone up, and the phone's been, you know, all this week has just been pretty active with various bits and bobs, and most of it, nearly all of it good. And yeah. Just that came up, and it was a picture, I think, of the tent as well. So it was like the empty tent, and then just 5,000 cap. And I just went, okay. And so that was like, I put that in the anxiety pile with everything else, and yeah. I'll just bundle it up and suppress my feelings.
Yeah. Nice.
Like a sensible person.
Well, how useful did you think doing that Merthyr show in the end actually was? Because for people who didn't know, originally you'd signed a contract to Download that it was going to be, that was the exclusive, so you only could come back for that.
Yeah.
Andy Copping was very nice and said you could do a warm-up after the event sold out.
Clive Nation.
Do you think like doing it in front of 200 people first let you get into the swings of it a bit more, and then...
No, it didn't help at all.
Hindered.
Yeah, it's worse if anything.
Oh,
I had more time to be... No, it was... yeah, obviously, it was a massive thing to kind of break that sort of like the sort of the seal, I guess, of like this gig, as in the Download gig yesterday, wasn't going to be like the first gig. It was going to be at least one that you can like just run through and make sure stuff... Even just from the boring, like nerdy point of like, I hope all my cables work. I hope all my gear doesn't go when I turn it on. And that's like... That normally is like the bit, once everything gets turned on and you give me my guitar, and I go, dunk, and I'm like, fucking hell, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Still better than my actual guitar player.
Yeah. It works. Cables work.
Yeah, maybe I should have just done that. Yeah, once that happens, normally I'm all right, but that was not the case yesterday. But yeah, it was a massive help, and we were really like appreciative the Download were like a bit flexible on it.
But also, with that first Merthyr show... So the day you went on sale, it went on sale on a Friday, and it was 11. It went on sale at 12 o'clock on a Friday, and Gavin Butler sent a message to the band WhatsApp group saying, "Boys, I had a nightmare last night that we're going to struggle to sell this gig. We're going to struggle to get many people to come to it." Then 12 o'clock happened, and reset the sentence, "Oh, we should be all right. We've had some good engagement on Instagram." What a disgusting 2023 thing to say. "Oh, we should be all right. We had engagement on Instagram." And then at 12:01, I got to text the boys and go, "Don't worry, boys, it's sold out."
Hey.
So yeah, that was, and then recent, "What do you mean?" And I went, "Refresh the link." And then he refreshed it and replied with, "No tickets." And I went, that'll be sold out.
I like the idea as well that in the intervening 8 years, Reese had forgotten what the concept of a sold out gig is. Like, he just erased all ideas about music from his mind. He's like, sold out.
Yeah, it's been so long. Yeah. And our last couple of tours, yeah, definitely didn't sell out.
Yeah, that's
so
true. I suppose it's been a while since we reacquainted ourselves with that concept.
It makes sense. No, he was right. He was right to be confused. Oh, fair play to him.
Smart man. Always said that. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure like it's being just weird getting the sense of people care again, because you know, you break up a band and then you think like, you know, no one really cares about it. You put it in the back of your mind, but you've seen so much love and support these last few months since you announced everything. Yeah. I mean, there's pretty much loads of people here who have just come to this festival because you guys are playing. There's people who flew all the way from Australia.
That's true.
To see these two.
Yeah, so no, we need to have a word about that. Yeah. Getting out of hand.
When you see this and you see like things like that online, is it just kind of like, wow, like is a real like realization of how special the Blackout was and how special that music resonated with people?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I was saying about how nervous I was at the gig yesterday, one of the main, like, they were, apart from just kind of like getting to be able to like remove that in like just from being on stage for a bit to being like comfortable, the other massive thing was that like by the last two songs, because of where you are and how far away, sometimes you just kind of like, you look at the crowd and you can't, you just kind of see like a mass of people when there's as many people as there, which was also mind blowing. But then you've got an idea in your mind about what the crowd should be doing in your mind at a certain point. Like they should be bouncing now. They should be doing. And if they're not, just because, not because they're not enjoying it, they're just not doing what you in your mind think they would be doing at that point. You're like, are they?
And we're all old now as well. That's what we had to consider. We were like, so maybe if they don't jump up and down all the way through the song, that's okay because our knees are fucked. So maybe everybody else's are.
Yeah, there's a lot more just like, that's very good, but I'm not moving forward. Just thanks a lot for that. But what I saw in like the last two songs was when you mentioned about the potential of doing the shows next year, I saw someone in like the second or third row, a dude just looking skywards with tears streaming down his face, just like, couldn't believe, like, just like, like so happy. And I was like, oh yeah, shit, this is like, that just like, it might have been you. It might well have, it actually might have been you, yeah. So you made my day yesterday. So there we go.
So if you just cried, if you had cried at the beginning of the set, you could have made the whole gig.
To be honest with you, if you could have done that in the first, like, second song, that would help me out a ton. So just think about that for next time, all right?
He reckons he did, so.
Oh, you did? Well, I didn't see it. Be more obvious when you're sad.
Oh, for next time, get a bigger head. Like Pikachu.
Yeah, so that was like that. It's that like level of like the fact that it means so much to people that I'd forgotten. Like I just kind of you make the decision to stop doing it, and then you do all the other stuff, and you forget, and you just forget that it's just like so important to people. And obviously it's important to us as well. But that's been the biggest like thing of like the last week. It's just been overwhelming.
But as well, when you guys did your first practice, like Sean was telling me how easy it was. It was just muscle memory, and for you all play those songs again. It wasn't like, what's this part? What did we do here? You all guys just kind of knew exactly like picking up a...
Well, the original thing was when we decided... So basically, we've always had the main band chat, that's what it's called, on WhatsApp. And we've always kept in touch. And then we started talking later last year, probably like July, August time, I think it was. And we were... I'm in and are in about gigs or whatever. And then I think Matthew chirped up and said, look, none of us are getting any younger. Our crowd's definitely not getting younger, and people are forgetting at an incredible rate. So if we're going to do anything, let's do it soon. And I wasn't expecting that. Like, I wasn't expecting any of that. So, and then I was like, oh, here we go. So I got excited when Matthew said that, because I was like, oh, somebody wants it. Yes. It's not just me. Ha, ha, ha. And then, but then instantly the fear of, like, Bob or somebody else going, nah, I don't fancy it. It was about to break my heart. But then everybody was like, you know what? Go on then. Yeah, go on.
And I think... Thanks, bud. I think like that was the thing about what Matt said was just kind of like you couldn't really argue with it. You were like, no, fair point. And I think it was just... I'd kind of come around to the idea of just like it took me a long time after the band finished to like separate myself from being that guy, if that makes sense. And it was like, it was tough. Like it was a tough process to go like, all right, what am I going to do with myself? And like I bounced around and did like some shit jobs and I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I felt a bit like aimless about everything. Don't worry, this won't go on that much longer. It's like, we don't care about you and your life.
Yes, we do.
And then I...
Carry on.
And it was only like... It was right before the pandemic, actually, where I was like, there was something I was just like, maybe I'm like in a spot now where I could think about doing this again. And then obviously, thump, everything closes down forever. And
there's the black, I want to come back. Yeah. A virus to keep everybody indoors forever.
We've been holding on to this for decades for this very moment. Yeah. This is the thing we need to stop. Release it.
It's almost as if God has found the perfect way to piss me off. Very clever fella.
But you shouldn't have said all that stuff about him.
Yeah. Frick.
And that was originally the thing of like, oh, we could, right before that point, I was like, maybe in my mind. And then that just looked like it had just put the kibosh on it forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, fair enough. And then that was again, like that extra 2 years of just being like, now it's kind of got to be now or never really. And it was just like that appetite to just get back out into the world and do stuff that everyone, I think, had after that period as well. And so that kind of intensified the thing. So when Matt was like, we just got to kind of like do it. And I think the other thing we did that was really important was, we didn't sort of make it like a declarative thing of just being like, right, we are going to come back. It started with just like, let's just get in a room and practice and see how it goes. Yeah. And that's so low stakes that we were like, all right, okay, fine. Let's just do that then. So then we did that. And that was when it just, the moment we started, it was like, shall we try a song? I think the first song we played was like Top of the World. We just, everyone was just, you know, tuning up and just, you know, making sure everything started. And then Snoz was just like, should we do something? And we just, and everyone just went, yeah, no, that bit, yeah, nice. That bit's fine, yeah, that's bit, okay, fine. Yeah. And we just got all the way through it, and we're like, oh yeah, this is, it's all just like muscle memory, it's all just starts coming.
Well, the text came through, and it was like, right, here's 10 songs that we've played before, let's just have a listen to them, and then when we get in a room, we'll try them out, and if we don't know the parts, we can always teach each other the parts or whatever. And we got in that room, and we just blazed through those songs pretty much, to the point where there was a moment when I was looking at Gavin and I could not remember the words, the beginning, the first verse to Save Ourselves, and I was just looking at him and I was like, and then instantly he was like, so you and me are history, what the, like, it was, it just came back, and it was like, it was crazy that, like, you talk muscle memory, but I don't understand how my mouth was like, I know this, but my brain was like, you haven't got a clue. You are miles off.
I was way off.
Yeah. It was strange, but it was awesome. Like,
well, I think what you're doing there, I was talking about muscle memory. Yeah. You're just talking about memory, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's all that is.
No, but this is what I'm saying. My memory was failing, but the muscles in my mouth went, ha-ha, you are the words.
Okay. Mouth memory. That's the thing, right?
Mouth memory.
Yeah, copyright that now.
Don't do that face.
Sorry.
It's not dirty to do the face.
Sorry.
But you say as well, like, there was a slightly less pressure because you guys have just been focusing on these shows. I know there'd be a lot of people online now asking about, you know, tours and what the future holds and all this and new music. But it seems like you just want to kind of keep on to just the shows being the forefront of everything and enjoying the back catalogue for what it is and experiencing these memories.
Some of the back catalogue for what it is.
Some of them. What? Why? What one? What's the one that's...
Move on.
But for people who are wondering, is it just going to be now just... We just want to play shows and see what happens?
For now, yeah. I think that's the initial thing of it from my perspective. It's that we've got songs that we know people like. We've got some people and we've got songs that, like, you know, we've got like a back catalogue that people have not heard for a while as well, so there's been a big space of time where people are like, I haven't heard that song played for however many years. We know how many years, it's 8, but but let's just say it wasn't 8 in an alternative dimension. So I think for now that's the kind of thing to say. I'm not really feeling the idea of writing anything more, but I'm not also going to say no, absolutely not, because you never know what it's going to like. But right now, I don't see it.
But right now, absolutely not. Yeah. No.
Right now, absolutely not. But possibly in the future, absolutely not as well.
Yeah. But that's what I've been telling people. Like, people have been like, when I've been walking about and talking to people, they're like, "Oh, so is it going to be new music?" And I'm like, "We got like 5 albums that you can choose from. Like, go and listen to them." Because a lot of you didn't bother with listening to fucking Wolves. I know.
Why would I put myself through that again?
Yeah. When we recorded the Wolves EP, I was like, these songs are fucking brilliant. That's it. Good. People are going to forgive us for starting the party. They're going to really enjoy this Wolves. And I think enough people had gone, I can't trust them now.
We were still in album jail, weren't we?
we were locked up for crimes committed against music.
Also, I think, like, The other element of that is, again, like a show like this weekend, while there's like the pressure on it to be like fun and good and live up to the expectations for us as much as for everyone who came along, and it did do that, which is brilliant. Like, it could have not, but okay. But if there's music attached to it, there's the pressure of like, how's the album doing? Yeah. What's going to be the single? Yeah. Is it going to be well received? Is it going to, like, if it doesn't land, does it make it, you know, people are going to be like, well, the new songs they released were a mess. I'm probably not going to go. But they, if we just do stuff based on the fact of what the band was in the past, then you know what you're going to get. And if you liked it then, you're still going to like it. So it kind of alleviates a bit of that pressure of being like, we can just play gigs when we want to play gigs, with nothing on the line, with no like schedule to hit. So it's like now, like it looks like we're probably going to be doing these shows early next year. There was originally planned to do them sooner than that, which just didn't happen. But that is what it is. It doesn't mess anything up. It doesn't throw any like release schedules off and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a bunch of stuff that you just don't have to worry about, and you could just have a good time.
Yeah. So no labels, no management whinging about getting stuff done. No, you've got to be here at this time. It's just us sorting it out ourselves and just getting excited to play and play for people and just remember and enjoy those old songs and.
Mm.
Yeah,
like it's a nostalgia trip at this point, isn't it? You know, for everybody, it's just like, let's go back and do that thing that we did in the past.
Remember this?
Yeah,
remember. Yeah. Remember when we used to be children of the night and now we're grandparents of the night? This took a bit in Save Ourselves yesterday. I was like, are people going to kneel down? Can people kneel down?
I'm down, I'm not getting back up.
Yeah,
I am down for the day
that
now.
That was the worry. Yeah. My worry was that some people were going to get down and then younger people behind them might jump around her, or around them might jump and then they're just stuck down there like I could. I just thought of it. So, like after we left, like whoa, all our fades, when you leave there's just loads of 35-year-olds just on the floor like, pick me up, below.
Or is the bit where you go, I want everybody to get up right now, and it's like the song kicks back in and it's just no, everyone's just gradually getting themselves up over the next 2 minutes, like,
get the fuck up, I will now. Yeah. I'm on my
This is me getting the fuck up, all right?
I'm not
my head's gone all light. I got up too fast. Within 90 seconds.
My legs were hurting after we had to get up as well, so that says it all. But this, you mentioned that, like, just that nostalgia trip, and I think there's so much love and attention around that sort of thing at the moment. I mean, if you look at that scene from back in the day, there's people like Kids in Glass Houses, Fuel for a Friend, you know, bands like Yellow Card, all getting back together and just celebrating their old time.
Famous Welsh band Yellow Card. Merthyr Avenue.
Ocean Avenue is my favourite bit of Splot.
But what do you think it is about that time in particular?
There were so many other Welsh bands you could have mentioned.
I was like, who's back? I was like, who's back?
Still going from that period. What? We are the Ocean.
Young Guns are back.
They're not Welsh, like.
Okay. They're not Welsh either.
They're closer to us than the Yellow Card, I suppose.
Ocean Avenue is a bit far away, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Might be. Shit. I don't know.
I don't
know. But yeah, what is it about that period?
Yeah.
I think it was just a good period for fun, great bands, a great live scene. Like all those bands you mentioned are fucking fantastic live. But the thing is, like, when Kids in Glass Houses announced they were doing Slam Dunk and it went fucking viral or whatever, like, we were fucking over the moon, like, genuinely fucking chuffed. Because I thought they would never do anything again.
I wasn't expecting it at all. I was like, wow, okay, cool.
I remember someone going, I think Kids in Glass Houses will do Slam Dunk. And I was like, I fucking bet my house that I haven't got a fucking house, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. I was like, I bet anything that they're not getting back together.
You bet my house, so yeah. No. And which is why I'm here now.
He lives in this tent now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they came back. And then, we had already rehearsed once before that, I think.
Yeah.
And then, but seeing the love that they got made us go, oh, maybe people will give a shit again. Mm-hmm. Because we were, at that point, we were like, oh, we'll probably just do like 100 capacity clubs if they make them. We just have to do the smallest venues we could. And then we saw Kids in Glass Houses get our response and we were like, ooh, maybe we could do 150 capacity clubs.
Whoa!
So,
wow.
Yeah,
I think from that, you ask about like that all those bands from that period. I think there was a sort of sweet spot where a lot of those bands, and we were towards the kind of tail end of it, I think, probably, and I would say Yellow Card more in the middle of that period, where there was probably like a point at which it was, I don't want to say easier, but like with things like MySpace and like that, the way that the kind of like digital landscape changed, it was easier to kind of start, to like get a, like a foothold and maybe like get a little bit of a following. So those bands like Yellow Card, I remember Yellow Card being around the same kind of time as like Story of the Year and like those kind of bands. And so that you get a period where you do that and you get an opportunity to be successful, and then there's still enough money in things like record sales that you can like sustain it for a period of time before the model completely changed. So then when we come in and we start off, and then by the time we end, it's like we've gone completely to streaming, and we're like, oh, we didn't really figure a way of doing this kind of stuff. So I think there were loads of those bands that were like maybe stopped, I want to say like a little bit prematurely, or it's like maybe we're like a little bit like we need to kind of stop, and then they can kind of revisit it and come back. We see like they did it a little bit earlier, but like Thrice did the same thing. Like they went on hiatus for however long, but came back like fully fledged and have just released like three amazing records and stuff. So I think that's probably a little bit why there's like so many of those bands from that time. But I think it was just genuinely, there was this massive like level of like quality stuff, because you had all like different genres like doing really cool stuff in like early 2000s and mid 2000s as well, I think, and pop punk bands as well as all like the kind of screamo emo bands, etc.
Does anybody have a MySpace? Wow. Mad, don't it? Absolutely nuts.
I had the Bebo. The fuck was that? The fuck up was
Bebo,
like, I don't know. But I think I'm a perfect example, really, of that fan base from the nostalgia days. Because, like, I did a post the other day on my Instagram. It's just so nice to see all of you guys back doing this again. Because that scene was how I really got myself into music and know how what I wanted to do with my career and kind of go into that and made so many friends and stuff. And even stuff like this, you know, I've seen people the last couple of days that I have not seen in maybe 6 years, 7 years.
Maybe even eight.
Got to count. But yeah, it's given me like a new found of wanting to hold on to it a little bit more. Because I think when I was younger, like 13, 14, you go into these gigs all the time, you see these bands all the time, it's just going to happen. And all my favorite bands broke up. I mourned them, I cried, and now they're all back together. And I'm at the age where I can like respect it a bit more and appreciate it. So I don't know, for me, I'm just happy that I get to do that again.
Yeah, I agree. I think I feel a little bit like that as well. I think when you were in it, like doing it as a job, it's a job. Like there's a point, there is an element of it where you have to think about it like it's your job. You have to just be like, right, well, I have to make decisions that are strategic and about like making sure that we can continue to do it, you know? And then you can separate yourself from it.
I like the way I looked up, like I had no idea what that was.
I didn't realise Matthew was going straight to work after. Jesus.
Oh yeah, for those who don't know, Matthew from the Blackout is now a fully fledged pilot.
As you do.
Don't fucking cheer it. Hey, listen. If you have to fly Ryanair and you hear Captain Matthew Davis come over the tannoy, get the fuck out of that plane as soon as you can. The exits are here. But yeah, so yeah. That's a reference to Matt. Mortgage Joker.
Yeah, sorry, and not to interrupt your point.
No, but the plane interrupted me. It wasn't I can't remember. But yeah, I think I was just agreeing with you that I think that there's that like nostalgia trip thing has been like, I felt that as well, because now the kind of this, because linked to the thing of like, there's no stakes or not so many stakes and you have to worry about it. You can just be like, this is great. This is fun. This is wonderful to see people being so happy about it and not have to worry about the kind of boring stuff. Like, just go, I got to go back to work on Monday, and I will. And it'll be like, I'll probably just be like, do you know what I did on Friday? But like, yeah. So it's just like, it's a nice thing that this has kind of come around. Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right that it's just, that's really made it that nostalgia like element a lot stronger, I think. Yeah. Why I think probably all those bands are coming back around, because they feel that as well. This is a question. Yeah. Because I'm not so much in the kind of like scene anymore, because I'm old and crap. But is there as intense a scene as there was like 10, 15 years ago? Like, have I just dipped out of it because I'm not in it anymore? You know, I've changed what I do?
I was going to say, I think so.
Yeah, there is. I think there's bands like Hold an Absence, for example.
Yeah.
Who've got such a community and love towards them. And there is like bands around that kind of thing. Yeah. And they, you know, but I don't see it as in the sense of all sounding so different and could tour with each other. So like, you know, I used to see like Young Guns and You Guys tour, or Kids and Glass Houses would go out with like, you know, maybe do a few shows with Funeral. You know, it doesn't add up musically, but the scene-wise, it does. Mm-hmm. I think there is a lot of bands really care about today, but I'm not sure if you can compare it to the intensity of, like, you know, those Kerrang days, and it meant a lot to be on the cover, and what a Kerrang tour would do and whatnot. But
yeah. You're slagging off Kerrang.
Do we have friends there before I slag them off?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'm still in two bands, you prick.
I'm not going to be on there, am I?
No, no.
Unbelievable. All right, fine.
Fucking
That was a long con, that was. That was long, to come all the way through this podcast for 4 years just to get us onto the stage so that you could throw us under the Kerrang bus.
I apologise.
I've been planning this since 2018. This will all come to the day.
Those are the words of Morgan Richards and not Sapling Podcast or The Blackout.
All Raiders.
Well, yeah.
I'm or wrong anything wrong. Else ever. I don't know where I was. Well,
I think we've done sufficient damage to that.
No, but you know what I mean. It's just like a scene and stuff. But there's some great bands. And that's going to lean into my next question was, when you eventually do these more shows, whether it be, you know, the start of next year or further, are you hoping to maybe look to do stuff where you take out younger bands that you've checked out or you've heard about? Or are you quite interested in doing tours with those bands you used to share the road with a lot back in the day? Or like a mixture of the two? I mean, what's your feelings and all that?
The other day, I met up with a guy called Johnny Phillips, who's a promoter at a company called SJM. Did somebody just cheer for Johnny Phillips?
That's the first.
Was it Johnny Phillips? Yeah, Phillips here? Oh, all right. I was going to say, whoa. Jesus. Unless that's Anne Phillips, Johnny's mother, I don't know who else would cheer for him. So, I was talking to him the other day and he was like, oh, have you thought about supports yet? And I was like, fucking, we're not even sure about dates, you shit. Like, what about support? So then I've asked for My Chemical Romance. Worth it asking it. They can only say no.
No, they're up to match. They'll do anything else.
Imagine they said yes. All right, would you like to support us in 1,000 capacity venues? And they're like, I don't even remember 1,000 capacity venues.
I can't even count that low. I start higher.
Yeah, $2,000 bill. It starts at $2,000, fella. We are thinking about supports now. Ultimately, I think we've kind of got two options. We can do the take two new bands out, or we could potentially take out like another a band kind of similar to our size, or, you know, just slightly less or whatever, and then have a good young opener as well. I guess we'll see.
We've literally only just started talking about it, and so I think there's a bunch of different ways we can go with it. I think we've always tried going all the way back, and I think the attitude is the same now, that if we can possibly like help a band and give them a bit of a platform to play in front of some people, then we'll try and do it. Because that's what happened to us. Mm. Like, you got to pay it forward. That's the way the cycle keeps going. So you got to, otherwise, we're so grateful. We wouldn't have got where we got if it wasn't for massive amounts of opportunities that we took. So you've just got to make sure another band will come along. You give them that opportunity and they seize that opportunity and they just are absolutely savage on the night. And they're like, that band are awesome. And the crowd go, yeah, that band are awesome. I should check them out. And that's always like a nice thing to see until they get bigger than us in 6 months. And then you're furious and sick inside.
Like Kids in Glass Houses.
Like Kids in Glass Houses, for example.
The fucks.
You made six. Yeah. I remember we played with you, made six, and they came up to us, and they were so, they were like, I can't believe we played with the black guy. And 6 months later, they were like, five times bigger than the black guy. And you're like, shit.
Yeah. And then we were like, remember us? Yeah, because we played like Abasoch or something like that. We played a festival, and I remember Max come up, and he was literally like, oh my God, I can't believe we played with you. And we were like, what the fuck? This is strange. And then, yeah, we played football with them for a little bit, and then, like you said, 6 months later, they were fucking huge, and then we had to go back and be like, oh, remember when you used to like us? Is there any chance we could play with you guys now? And yeah, it's just that weird thing. And then, yeah, we took Kids in Glass Houses on their first ever tour.
Yeah.
And now they're fucking huge, and I haven't seen Penny one of that. I'm still waiting for at least a fiver from Alid. He owes me at least a fiver.
Yeah, for things unrelated entirely, like lifts and stuff.
That's true.
Well, as well, what I enjoyed in the crowd yesterday is just the simple little things people were really excited about. The fact that, you know, Sean dyed his hair just for yesterday.
Yeah. So yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Monday. So this was a drunken idea, right? I went to go and see Bullet My Valentine playing Swansea. Woo indeed. I went to see Bullet My Valentine in Swansea. I'd had a couple of beers, and I messaged my friend Shelley, who is a unbelievable award-winning hairdresser and colorist, and it was the arrogance of me. I'm back. The arrogance of me, drunk. So I was like, Shell, what is this idea? We're playing on Monday, the 5th of June, and then we're doing Download on a Friday, 9th of June. Any chance you could fit me in on the 7th to dye my hair blonde? I want to do something special for Download. And she replied, yeah, come in 10:30 and all this stuff. Like, she made room. And then when I got to the shop, I realized that she's got like a 3 month waiting list for new clients and all this shit. And she was meant to have clients in on that day. And I just drunkenly went, you can fit me in, can't it? I went in. It took fucking hours to do because she's a professional and great at it. So when I came out yesterday, I saw somebody in the guest area, and they said, I was like, oh, what do you think of this? Eh? It's daft, isn't it? I look like Mungrel the Bounty Hunter. I look like Dog's long lost Welsh son. And they went, no, you don't. With them pink glasses on, you look like Jimmy Savile. Shit.
Well, you have my utmost sympathy for having so many hair options.
Sorry, Bert.
And I wish you the best in all of your ill-gotten endeavours that come as a result of you doing silly stuff to your hair.
Yeah. Do you look at me and go, I just like one of those 4 hair cuts.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could break off a piece for your boy, that would be great.
Yeah, I was expecting someone to make the comment, it looks like his fringe has fallen down the back of his head. But I haven't had it yet, so one of you fucks will do.
That's one for you to work in later on.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was making point of just little things as well people enjoying, not just the songs, just seeing your smile, seeing like...
You're talking about little things that people, excited people, but I did rip my crotch and my trousers yesterday. So people nearly saw a very little thing.
That may have excited them.
That would have upset a lot of people.
Sure.
We nearly became the sack out live on stage last night. I was thinking, like, it happened about 3/4 of the way through the set, and I was like, I might just rip these off now. So I grabbed the hole and I was like, that's it, I'm going to rip them. And I thought, oh no, your only other pair of trousers are in the Airbnb, which is about a 6-hour drive from here, even though it's 4 minutes away.
As I said to you yesterday, though, the prospect of you spending the rest of yesterday wearing just a belt in the belt loops that you've like ripped off and just pants would have been delightful.
Yeah, but the problem is, because I'm a bit tight, with money, Because I'm tight with money, I was wearing H&M pants. And as any boy who's ever bought a pair of pants from H&M will know, they go really baggy on the leg very, very quickly. So literally, I would have just been satchel out all day. Like, I would have been bag out, and nobody wants to see that.
That would be a different show.
I say that, nobody wants to see that. But I did show Hannah from Hot Milk my hole.
And that's a regular sentence.
And then she said, put a ball in my hand. And I went, I can't, there's other people about. And yeah, but yeah, that's a bit of a behind the scenes knowledge.
Behind the scenes. Hey, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
That's just standard sentence.
How many other people? You wouldn't believe how many bands are backstage holding each other's testicles. It's nuts. What a load of bollocks.
If I had said that,
I turned into Morgan.
If I had said that,
what a shocking mess I was, but
sorry.
Any more little things you want to mention briefly before me and Sean interrupt you and talk for 5 minutes about pants and hair?
Well, as we start to wind this up, I don't think we have that many minutes left.
Eight? Would it be eight? Do we have 8 minutes left?
No, well, seven! Seven!
Life of God. Is it eight? It's seven! Perfect, that is. I can't believe we planned that joke to happen just there at that time.
Yeah, Download's always been a place where you guys have had some great memories anyway from over the years. If you'd shared a dressing room space with Motley Crue.
We did that
or,
once.
Or filling in for Sum 41 for the 100th time and having...
Be fucking doing more of that now, probably. Jesus Christ, they've knocked it on the head again, haven't they?
Well, you can't have the two bands at the same time, apparently. We can only have either Sum 41 or the Blackout. There's no overlap anymore, so...
In fact, it's got to be Sum 41, surely.
I like how you started out by saying there were some great memories, and as you were listing them, I was like, I have no memory of this place. And like Gandalf, I was just like, what? When? Who did this? How dare you?
Well, I was just going to say, like, elaborate on those a bit, and like, the Mad Moments of Download.
In 2009, we did, I think we were second on the main stage, and that was the year that Faith No More came back, Limp Bizkit came back, and Korn came back, and the Blackout decided, instead of playing one of our songs, and then ultimately getting paid more money by PRS, let's do a medley of those other bands that we love. So we ended up doing, we went from our song Spread Legs Not Lies into Korn Blind, into Break Stuff, and then into Epic by Faith No More. And waste our time doing that. And then I was backstage and I saw Fred Durst in the flesh for the first time. And when I was 17, I discovered, no, it was not 17, I was probably a little bit older. I was probably about 19 when I discovered Chocolate Starfish, and that a grown man is allowed to swear and shout all the time. And that's his job. And then ultimately I'm seeing the man who made me discover what I could do is in front of me. So I just walked up to him and I was like, excuse me, Mr. Durst, I don't want to stop you and your family, but my band played earlier. We were the second on. We did a cover of Break Stuff. I hope you're not annoyed. And he was like, no, man, that's cool. And I was like, all right, I got to go. And then that was it.
No, man, that's cool. Why are you talking like that?
What's it all? But yeah,
I did a similar thing because that was the same year. Yeah, Faith No More played. So
same voice?
What?
Did you use the same voice?
I didn't even get to use my voice, and here's why. Faith No More, my favorite band of all time, ever of all time. And by the time I got into them, they'd already like split up, so they were like done and gone by like '98, I think. And I got into them in like the early 2000s. So this band of just magic. So I never, ever, ever thought I'd see them. And then they reformed and then played the same stage as my band on the same day. And I was like, what's happening in the world? And I saw Mike Patton in a similar way to you walking towards me. And I got myself into the headspace to be like, I'm going to do that. And I got towards him. And then I looked into Mike Patton's big, mad, maniac, mad eyes. And I went, nah, fuck it. I'll talk to him. And I just shit out 100% and just went, nah, I'm going to walk past him like I don't care.
Nice.
I've never said anything to him.
Yeah. But that year, Limp Bizkit's publicist came on to us while we were sitting outside our dressing room and said, Limp Bizkit, just want to say they really appreciate you after... all their time away, because we were one of the only bands who would champion them outright all of the time. Like, people had gone off nu metal, wasn't cool to like Limp Bizkit anymore and any of that shit, but we just fucking never stopped adoring them. Every interview I did, I would say like how Limp Bizkit were a vital part of everything that happened. And yeah, so for him to come over and be like, Limp Bizkit know about you, was the number one. We were like, Jesus Christ, surely they don't. Sorry, apologize to them. And then, because we were keeping them relevant, we were like, well, technically, we've been doing you a job for you then.
And now, we can't get Fred Durst on the podcast because all he sends you is lightning bolts. We try and DM him.
Yeah, do me a favor. After this, tweet or go on Instagram and tell Fred Durst to go on Sapnin Podcast. Please. For fuck's sake, right?
Please.
I sent him a DM saying, please come on my podcast. It will just be me rimming you for an hour. I won't talk about that film that flopped. I won't talk about any new albums. Like, I won't talk about anything you don't. Literally, it will just be me going, oh, thank you for everything.
There's the voice.
And you recognize that voice. Yeah. Because that's, yeah. Please get in touch with Fred Durst and get him to come on, for God's sake. Yeah,
please do. We're desperate for it. Just before we let everyone go and they can actually watch some bands today. We've mentioned a few times how special this week has been, and especially these shows. And I'm sure there's like a lot of little memories and just flat, like, just come in while taking it all in. Is there anything in particular that stands out from this week that you just thought, like, this is incredible?
You go first.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I think nothing specific, because it's all just been like this overwhelming like wave of like positivity, nostalgia, and just an amazing, just unbelievable experience. I'm rubbish, right?
And I... Oh, come on, man.
Let me finish.
All right, sorry.
I'm rubbish. That was it. I'm rubbish in the sense that I always, like, no matter when good stuff happens, my brain just goes, and here's the tiny negative hidden within that you can focus on. So, you know, amazing stuff would happen, and everyone would be like, wasn't that amazing? I'm like, meh, but you see? And they're like, Christ on a bike, what a dry out. So this week I've been like focusing on the point of being like, enjoy it, you dickhead.
You've been negatively trying to be positive.
Yeah. Look at you.
Enjoy it, you dick.
Yeah, look at you, my own brain. I'm sick and tired of you and your shit. So why don't you enjoy it for a bit? So I just want to say thank you to every single person who came and watched us yesterday. Anything, because... honestly, just it was mind-blowing. We didn't know how it was going to go. We were like hopeful it would be good, and it was just mesmerizingly brilliant. So that's it really from me. It's just thank you to everybody who made it happen.
And you, Sean?
There was a moment Monday where we went on stage and I looked up to the right and my mother was there and she was crying. And I was like, oh, yes, my mom's crying with happiness. And then I realized, I was like, oh, no, she's crying because the last time she was here, my dad was here. So I just thought I'd put a terrible, terrible end to this segment there by making you all feel bad. But no, like Bob said, it's been so fucking good. We genuinely didn't think anybody would come to the Merthyr show. And that was just 200 people. So to see that fucking tent absolutely rammed yesterday was fucking incredible. I went back, had a bit of a cry to myself after it. I'm going to do it now. No, I'm not.
Oh.
No, no.
Oh. Oh.
I'll turn into Tom Jones.
Oh. Elvis said to me, he said, never cry in front of an audience.
And old is she, 40? Anyway. Oh. That's Elvis. That's Elvis. That's what he did. But yeah, no, it's been fantastic. Thank you very much. We've genuinely appreciated it. We're not fucking blasé. We're not fucking looking over it. We never thought we'd get to do it again. So the fact that we got to do it has been fucking amazing. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you.
And I think I can speak for everyone here, honestly, from my perspective as well. It's just been so beautiful to see you guys enjoying it, seeing the reaction, seeing the love, and just having this again. So I'm buzzing about it. Thanks to everyone for coming along and being supportive for this and the band. And enjoy the rest of your Download Festival experience and look out for what these lot are going to be doing next year, maybe, question mark.
Yes. Yeah, follow us on all the socials, at The Blackout on Twitter, at Blackout Music on Instagram. We got a TikTok, but we're too fucking old for that shit, so whatever.
And at Sapling Pod for us as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sapling!
Sapling! Thank you.
You listen to Sapling Podcast.
Yes. Woo! That was my good friend and hetero life partner, James Bob Davis of The Blackout. Thank you very much to him again for saving our bacon and doing our live podcast, because we had another guest who forgot to tell us he wasn't going to be there Saturday.
Hey!
So that was great. But yes, Bob saved our bacon. He absolutely fucking smashed it. He was funny. He was serious. He was articulate. He was a delight, an absolute delight. Do you know what? Thinking about it, there's nobody I'd rather have done it who was as good as Bob was on that, I think.
Yeah, he's absolutely perfect. I think it was just
superstar.
The best combination of everything and worked out well. I think it was nice the day after you guys playing such an emotional setback to kind of sit down and dissect everything and give that audience what they wanted in terms of news and just the thoughts and feelings, everything to start the day. So thanks again for Download Festival for inviting us to do that, booking us and for getting us involved with the festival as much as you do. It's been a great experience for me these last 2 years in particular. I wouldn't have ever thought we'd get to do these kind of stuff, and I'm really excited to do more live podcasts again in front of live audiences and just have a good laugh of everything. Thanks to everyone came out to watch. It was early. If you didn't and you're listening back to this, that's perfectly fine. I want to give a shout out to to Glenn Bollard for taking some wonderful photos of us as well, nice, which you can go and check out at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram over the next few days. And just everyone from Andy Coppin to Danica to Jenny,
Clive,
to Lage to Kat, just the whole Download Festival team, from the behind the scenes to their PR to people who put on the stages, everything. Just a really lovely, lovely week.
Absolutely fantastic week. Thanks again to everybody, like you said, everybody at Download. Andy Coppin didn't have to leave The Blackout, do that warm-up show. And when I saw him backstage at Download before The Blackout went on, first thing he said was, what the fuck have we done to your hair? And then he said, thank you so much for playing. And I said, don't be so fucking stupid, will you? Thank you very much for letting us play Merthyr as well. It meant the world to us. And he said, that's all right. That was just foreplay before the main event.
Hey.
He was right, because that tent was fucking rammed. It was full of love, literally from front to back, right? I met So I met some people in the guest area on Saturday, and they said to me, "Hiya, are you from the Blackout?" And I said, "Oh yeah, sorry." And they said, "Oh, it's okay. We caught you for the first time yesterday. We thought you were a completely new band. And then we walked into the tent and we heard everybody singing every word to every song."
Wow.
And I was like, must have been like walking into a cult, was it? And she was like, "Yeah, there's a lot of whoa and waving going on." I went, "That'll do it." Yeah.
Mm.
So many people came to see us. The majority of people who knew who we were and sang every fucking word. And then there was new people then who had just found us, which is fucking mental when you think about it. Because where have you been? Where have you been? 8 years ago. If they all come up to me and went, "Oh, yeah, we've been deaf for the last 20 years and blind, but we love rock," that would make sense. But they didn't. Yeah, the fact that anybody new came to see the Blackout as well and was like, "Oh, that was good," is nuts to me. So, yeah, everybody there, what a fucking wholesome, brilliant, amazing, wonderful experience that was. And if you look back at any recordings, every time I go near the crowd, you can see me looking about, and I swear to God, it must have been every five people I knew somebody. It was fucking mad. Like, I was literally looking about, smiling constantly. There's moments where I see some of my best friends crowd surfing. And yeah, it was just a wonderful experience to see all the people who used to come see the Blackout back in the day, people who were patrons of this podcast, people who literally toured with the Blackout, people from other bands. Shout out to Connor from Yashin. I saw him on someone's shoulders at one point, giving it big arms. And now I've looked back at the photo, it does look like he's threatening to fight me mid-gig. So it's a shame that didn't happen, because could have been some good press of both of us.
Oh, but no, what a lovely time. I was right in the middle of that tent watching you guys as well, and like just see everyone's reactions. There was literally, there was someone in the crowd who was so excited that the fact you walked on with this blonde hair. She kind of did like a double take breath, like, "Oh my God, no way, stop," stance. And you blew her mind just before you played a song. I think that sums up how the little things people were really appreciating, and just that this is a thing again. And
I didn't think me dyeing my hair would be that big a deal, but I've literally seen, I saw a video where we're coming on and we've got like this big dramatic old Fortuna intro, and you could just... You could hear someone go, "Fucking hell, his hair's blonde!" Like, it was a physical impossibility to ever have blonde hair again. Like, I did it for a laugh. I didn't think for a fact I would come out looking like Jimmy Savile, but here we are. Sorry about that. Not a great look, but it's a funny look, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
I was going around telling people I was Mungrel the Bounty Hunter, Dog and Beth's illegitimate Welsh son. And as I mentioned on stage, February 2024, we are going on tour. We're going to do a week of shows up and down the UK. So please, 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 fucking, for the love of God, come to that. From the reaction we had at the tent, it seems like a lot of people would be up for it. And we've got enough time now for everybody to get babysitters planned, work breaks planned if they need them. Whatever us old people now need to sort, we need to do that before February. So everybody, please, please stay alive till March 2024, because we all need to fucking have a laugh in a room, get sweaty, and hang out and sing those old songs together again.
Yeah, so that's what everyone wants, and that's a perfect excuse just to reunite with old friends as well. I just wanted to put out there that the amount
that
of
was another thing. Very sorry to cut you off, Morg. But I am very excited with this, because we're talking about me, I suppose.
Right,
but
okay.
So there's loads of like little Blackout clicks, I guess, right? Of like 4 to 5 people in each group who haven't seen each other for 8 years. And then they were all coming together and hanging out again. And it was fucking magic. Absolute fucking magic. And I hope you understand how much this means to us, and how much it meant to other people, made us, as you heard from Bob saying about the crying guy, it literally meant the fucking world to us that it meant anything to anybody else. So thank you very much. Sorry, Morg. Carry on.
I was just trying to say,
Actually, before you carry on. No, carry on.
Another thing about me I wanted to bring. Yeah. No, I was just trying to
Nobody's mentioned that I wore an I Make Dirty Love denim jacket on stage.
That was good.
Don't get me wrong, it didn't last long because it was fucking boiling up it, right?
But for that one photo you've got with it, it's great. It was worth it. Yeah,
I know. I'm going to have to keep fucking posting until people go, do you know what? I'd like one of them t-shirts. I think I can put them on sale. Fucking get one. Anyway. Sorry,
bud.
Go on, carry on.
I was just trying to say,
Oh, did you see Gavin standing on a crowd? That was fucking mad. Do you know what? I never expect. Do you know what? Right, let me explain. When we rehearse, right, we just go through the songs. We don't fucking act out like we're playing live. We never did that anyway. But now we're older, we're definitely not going to fucking rock out and practice in front of each other, right? So the fact that Gavin went full fucking loopy-doopy and fucking started climbing on the crowd, right? And got about six rows in and was just standing up, right? I never thought I would see that again. So I was fucking chuffed. Sorry, Morg. Carry on.
Just great to see so many old friends that I don't get the chance to see that much now and meet people from online that, you know, you just never get to see. Those people were there. Very, very wholesome. I had so many smiles. I had a really, really good time. It was just the best. So thank you for everyone for giving a shit about this podcast as well. We just really, really appreciate it. And that in particular leads on to our wonderful Patreon community. Like, I know we talk about them all the time. We big them up and we say how important they are. But it's just incredible. We can't put into words how much they have embraced this whole week in general. The amount who came to Merthyr, the amount who came to download, the amount who have gone to see the live podcast, the amount who have stopped us for photos, wanting to be with each other. Never mind us, just each other and hang out. Some of them have been touring all across the UK, just visiting different members, have been going out, they've been going for food. It's just incredible. I can't think of a better word to use because it is just boggles our mind that this is a thing and we somehow created this beautiful, beautiful community. We owe so much to them. We want to thank them as much as we can for being a thing. It is literally the best thing to come out of this podcast. So thank you so much to our Patreon community for making our world this past week and just being there for each other. If you'd like to get involved, please head over to patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description of this and every episode, there's loads of names there that we thank. But as always, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community. Those are the lovely bastards in the top tiers.
Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwue, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Kelly Irwin, Dilly Grimwood, Natasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kat Bess, and Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Successful Burger Delivery Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Stuart McNaught, Ellen Southfield, Stephen Aston, Carol Robson, Kate Puttock, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Jason Heredia, Emily Perry, John and Emma, Emma Evans-Roberts, Craig Harris, Evan, Sean Foynes, Kalila Keane, Ollie Amesbury, Adam King and the Goss Parcel, Josh Never Fall in Love with a Tennis Player, Love Means Nothing to Them, Crisp. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Cal David Smith, and Connor Lewins, and everyone who's part of our Patreon. Check it out. You can join our Patreon for as little or as much as you can afford. It's all good. But let's just say, rumour has it that our Patreon, something's happened on our Patreon, and I might have to be getting four words of a Patreon's choice tattooed on my skin for life.
Ooh.
We made the tear up as a joke, hoping it would get publicity just off people going, look at these twats. They've got a $20,000 option where you can, where they'll come live with you. And then they've got one where Sean will get a tattoo like an idiot. But guess what? This fucking idiot's got to get a tattoo, I think. So. But yeah, thank you very much to everybody involved with our Patreon. Honestly, what a fucking group. What a fucking bunch of legends. What a heart-filling, fucking brilliant group of people they are. And they've come together and I cannot stress enough how fucking cool it is to see the Patreon people hanging out together and just talking to them and meeting them and just spending time. It's been fucking amazing. So thank you very much to everybody else we've met this week.
And yeah, thank you very much. You are fucking superstars.
Yes, we love every single person listening to this. Thank you for clicking it, listening, tuning in, whatever you do to podcasts. Weird terminology these days. This is supposed to be a very happy episode, but it's doing quite emotional. So let's just wrap it up here. We'll be back next week and every Friday with more special guests and silly nonsense in between. So click subscribe wherever you're listening. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, go back to listen to our download special, which came out Wednesday, if you haven't already. Some absolutely good chats on there. Eric from I Prevail, Elizabeth Hale, and of course, we had Moderation Sunscreen on as well. McGuck's friend.
Yeah, he's friends with McGuck. Aye.
Let's fucking finish, for God's sake. Sapling!
Sapling!
Just fucking gonna waffle on forever. Right, I gotta get this fucking dust out my nose.
You're listening to Sapling Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.